Las Vegas Raiders football.
This is the front for the silver and black. The starter's out there as Locke's looking left out of the shotgun. Pressure on him, throws it out to the corner. Intercepted by the Raiders.
Get it on him.
Right the whole way to Lobby. Lobby gets it to the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Las Vegas Raiders. Dylan Lobby. Hands looking right. Pump fakes. It's going to go deep down the sideline. That'll be a touchdown. Cedric Jackson for the Las Vegas Raiders. Cam came through, looked off the coverage, hit him coming down the sideline. Pacino in the shotgun, looking left and then back right to Dante to a corner fade. He catches it as the end. Touchdown, Las Vegas Raiders. Dante Thornton right on the back shoulder, and the Raiders are on the board.
Here's your host, JT the Brick.
All right, hour number two of the show, Wasted Talent in a moment. We'll have him on. Also, Joe Lisi at the bottom of the hour from Sports Grid, a really good college football insider. Hour number two of the show is brought to you by the 872 Laborers, brought to you by Tommy White. They build this city on time and on budget. The 872 Laborers, proud partner of our show. I didn't get around to it. I apologize. I teased it. Let me get to Micah Parsons. The Cowboys now appear willing to listen to Micah Parsons' trade offers. Then the Raiders got to go for it along with every other team. That's it. I have not been go get Micah Parsons. We have Max Crosby. We have Max. He's an elite edge rusher. You don't have to have two, but it's nice when you do. Howie Long will be talking about this hour. He had Greg Townsend. Greg Townsend had more than Howie when it came to sacks. Greg's not in the Hall of Fame. Howie's in. The Raiders have money. They have a lot of new money and new ownership, but there's only so much money you can spend against the cap. I am not a capologist. If Micah Parsons is available for the Raiders, along with other teams, and I'm not saying every team. I don't think every team is going to be able to do this. I think some of the worst teams in football, I don't think Micah Parsons is going to go to the Titans. He could. They were the worst team in football. They got Cam Ward. But with Pete Carroll, if Pete Carroll goes to John Spytek and John goes to Pete, man, we could do this deal. We can get Micah Parsons, and you got to give up two first-rounders, or you got to give up a first and a second. Then you got to pay him. Remember, you have to pay him. So Raiders are in a pretty good area when it comes to money. Okay, the Raiders aren't hurting for money with this particular cap. There's always dead money. There's always players coming off the books. We know that. But, man, Micah Parsons, the Cowboys are willing to listen. And that's according to Adam Schefter, Todd Archer, and Dan Graziano. So I don't know one person in Raider Nation that wouldn't want to do this deal. I didn't think it was doable, nor do I think it's doable now, probably. But I got to mention it. You've got to take a look at this deal. This is the type of deal, if true, because Jerry might be just what? Wanting the attention. Jerry might love this today. Everybody's talking about Micah, and he knows with his son Steven, they control the contract. They control it. They don't have to trade him. He could sit out, and Jerry at the end will go, I was never going to trade Micah. He's like my son. I'd never trade him. Well, these are pretty big insiders. Todd Archer, Adam Schefter, they're saying that the Cowboys will listen. It's time to make the call. Everybody make the call and try to get Micah Parsons on your team. I heard Vinny say it today. What would it do for the Raiders with Micah Parsons? It would change everything. It would change everything. You could quickly talk about the Super Bowl with Brock Bowers, Ashton Jeanty, Geno Smith, Max Crosby, Micah Parsons. Odds of getting him? Probably really, really, really small. But as a sports radio topic, it's blowing up the internet today. Wasted Talent joins us off his podcast and his own YouTube channel. I think that's a good segue to jump in. And what do you think of Micah? You know the team, you know the fans. Does this make sense to you?
I mean, it makes sense in context, right? Like, for you to bring in a player that's as significant as Micah Parsons and add him on a roster with Max Crosby, what you're doing is you're essentially really building the team for your division. We have one of the best kind of quarterback crop of players in the AFC West, probably the best in the league. You got the best quarterback in the National Football League, Patrick Mahomes. You got to go up against Justin Herbert. You know, he's a top, you know, five guy, I think, in the league. And then you have a guy like Bo Nix, who's up-and-coming quarterback. So bringing Micah Parsons in with Max Crosby, you're essentially pretty much building your roster to go against your division. Now, the only thing about Micah Parsons and bringing him in, because we're one of the teams who have the cap room to be able to bring him in, is the compensation. See, I'm never a fan of going out and trading for a player and then having to pay him a king's ransom. Mm-hmm. You know, Micah Parsons is going to demand north of $35 million a year. He's probably going to be one of these guys that gets up there in Myles Garrett country, because he's probably going to want to set the market. So it's going to be a $42, $43 million a year contract. And then you have to look at the amount of compensation that it's going to take to get him. Like, if you think about the Khalil Mack deal, if we can go back real quick, JT. Khalil Mack was had for two first-rounders, a second, and I think a third. Micah Parsons has 20 more sacks in the same amount of time in his career than Khalil Mack did. Micah Parsons, the only other person that you can mention as far as from a sack perspective in the amount of time that he's been in the league is Reggie White. So it's going to take a significant amount of money and draft capital to get one player, and I don't necessarily know if the Raiders are ready for that now.
Yeah, Wasted Talent joins us, Las Vegas Raiders content creator. We have him here as one of our insiders this year. So I agree with you. When you have to go trade assets and then pay, that's the way it works. You know, in the NBA, you want to go trade for James Harden, you got to inherit his Supermax deal and get him. And then you probably have to give something up. But what the Raiders could give up, it's only a concern to me because I think John Spytek, he's the new GM, he wants to build the team with draft assets. Every young GM, as you know, wants to hold on to draft picks and find great players like Micah Parsons. But Micah would get more money than Max. And I know Max could handle that because Max is the best. And I think the rest of the defense can handle it too. But, man, to have two players that play the similar position, the Raiders need help in the secondary, don't you? I saw that you were covering this on your stream. What do you think the Raiders are going to do coming into the season with these corners?
I'm very concerned because, you know, we have a lot of athletic ability in that group. They're big, rangy guys. Porter is a guy that, you know, jumps off the chart when you see him athletically. But what we don't have is a lot of experience. And, you know, I think that they're probably going to lean into Pete Carroll's experience. If you look at what he's done in every other stop, he's always kind of went out there with a secondary that initially wasn't looked upon favorably. You know, we can go back to Tariq Woolen. We can go back to even Richard Sherman. And I hate to do that because Richard Sherman is a Hall of Fame mm-hmm. player. But, you know, when you look at Porter is pretty much the exact same archetype as Richard Sherman, a guy who was converted from wide receiver over to defensive back, big rangy guy, over 6'1", 6'2", fast. So we're really, really leaning on potential in that group, and it worries me a bit because in the National Football League, the one thing that has kind of gone by the wayside with free agency and being the only sport with a true hard cap. Like, you know, in baseball, it's kind of funny money. They're able to do the luxury tax thing if the owner's willing to do that. And they kind of can play little games and get supermax players under one roof. But with the NFL, it's very, very hard to do that. And, you know, we don't have as many vets in positional groups anymore. You have a whole bunch of young guys. It's always a youth movement. So the secondary group, I think they're going to have to kind of roll with what they have because there's not a lot of options out there in the waiver wire. There's not a lot of options out there in the free agent market. And you know, shutdown corners aren't growing on trees. You know, that's kind of one of the reasons why I kind of raised an eyebrow when we got rid of Jacorian Bennett. Because I thought he was headed into a season where, you know, he was going to be our franchise guy at that position. He was looking like he was trending that direction, but he kind of couldn't stay healthy. So I understand why Pete moved on from him. But I'm very, very concerned about that group.
So overall, Wasted Talent joins us as one of our insiders. You believe that if we're healthy, if Raider Nation is healthy, which is hard to do, to have all of your defensive starters not miss games. Some guys are going to miss games. That's the problem. We have superstars. We have very good players, but we don't have a lot of depth. I agree with you on that. And what do you think of the aging linebackers? They're all pretty good. Pratt and Devin White, and we've definitely seen good play out of Landon Roberts. Matt Millen loves him because of how physical he is. I don't think there's going to be a lot of sets with three linebackers. I think that you're going to have a nickel or a dime package. One of those linebackers will be off the field. What's your concern, or what do you like about the linebacking core?
I love our linebacking core. Like, there are a lot of people who are glass half empty with this linebacking core. I'm glass half full. Okay. You know, you got guys that have played at a very, very high level in this league. Especially Devin White is a guy that, for me, has gone through some personal things. You know, he's a guy who has been injured over the last few years, and now he's finally healthy. Jamal Adams is a beast. He's a guy who has been a star in this league, and I think he's, you know, even though he's being converted to a linebacker, he essentially was a linebacker, you know, when he got to Seattle. He normally played in a box. So Jamal Adams is really why this group takes it over the top for me. I think this group is going to do a lot better than a lot of people are giving the Raiders credit for. Alandon Roberts is a hammer. He's a guy who he's a pro. He understands the scheme. He understands what his role is. And Tommy Eichenberg, man, I'm very, very, very excited about that young kid, man. I loved him out of Ohio State. So I think this is going to be one of the banner groups for this team. Mark my words, the Raider linebacking core is what's going to propel us into the playoffs this year.
Wasted talent as we wrap it up. What do you think of Kenny Pickett for a fifth-round pick to back up Geno?
I love it. You essentially got a guy who was drafted in the first round, 20th pick. You know, a guy that really never really lost his starting position in Pittsburgh. You know, Kenny Pickett actually asked to be traded when they brought in Russell Wilson, and he moved on and, you know, went and got a Super Bowl ring with the Eagles. I think Kenny Pickett fits what we do here a little bit better than Aiden, and there's no disrespect to Aiden O'Connell, but, you know, Pete Carroll, and when if you look at Chip Kelly, he likes more mobile quarterbacks. You know, even going back to Oregon, you know, with Mariota and just when he was at UCLA with DTR, he likes guys that can move. And Kenny Pickett can definitely move. He's a gamer. He's a guy who has won in this league, and he's been a starting quarterback, and that's all you can ask for. You know, when you have a quarterback like Geno Smith, you know, if he goes down, that's a significant blow. Most teams don't recover from losing a player of that stature anyway. True. But the fact that we have a guy that has started in this league and kind of, you know, knows how to prepare, he's a pro, he can move, and I think this is the best-case scenario for the Raiders, to be honest with you. I didn't see, like a lot of people were talking about Dorian Thompson-Robinson mm-hmm. and going out there and getting Snoop Huntley and all of these guys. To me, Kenny Pickett was the pick of the litter because of the fact that he has been a starter and his pedigree is a first-round pick.
Last one, Amari Cooper. He's going to take away touches from someone. It's just the fact. This guy's a volume receiver. I don't think his volume will be up at the back end of his career, but Dante Thornton, Jack Besh, we look at Trey Tucker, who needs to catch a couple of deep balls. Are you on board with Amari Cooper? I like it because I know how he's been a big play guy his entire career, and he can get the Raiders a third down catch. That could be the difference in the fourth quarter for a fourth quarter comeback where the Raiders might have lose, but now they win the game.
Yeah, I mean, Amari Cooper has always been a guy that, if I'm being honest, he shows up, he plays 17 games, he has 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's just who he is, right? And he's played in situations where he's been the number one guy, he hasn't been the number one guy, and he still always seems to produce. The reason why I feel like Amari Cooper being back with the Raiders is great is because two things. One, he's a guy that has a passion for coming back here and playing for Pete and kind of finishing what he started here with the Raiders. That always goes big with me. Somebody that actually wants to be here and wants to be successful and wants to win as a Raider, right? And also, Amari Cooper is a guy that is a significant, significant player to have in a locker room with such young receivers. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, Myers is a veteran receiver, but Amari Cooper is a guy that's a little bit more accomplished. And I think, you know, as a technician and a route runner, he can really, really bring out some of the talent that we have in this receiver group. Because this receiver group, I'll tell you something, this offense is the National Football League needs to watch out because this offense, I think, is going to go absolutely bonkers this year. A lot of people are sleeping on us, but Dante Thornton, Jack Besh, and Tucker are guys that have a lot of talent. And the thing that unlocks that talent isn't always just coaching. A lot of times it's having a guy that has competed and played at a high level to kind of show you what good looks like. And I think that's one of the huge reasons why Amari Cooper being in this locker room this particular year is going to be big for these guys going on in the future. You're going to hear years from now how much of a a difference his presence in his locker room made for guys like Besh and guys like Dante Thornton.
Tell me what you're working on with the stream and the podcast where everybody can find you.
Over at Raider Nation Unlimited on YouTube, at Wasted Talent Raiders on Twitter. We're working on the pod every single day. We're rocking at 6:15 EST, 3:15 PST. You know, we're just trying to make the platform grow and work with like you, JT. I appreciate you for having me on.
You got it, my friend. Take care. There he is, everybody. Wasted Talent. He is part of our team now. My call. Good call. I think he's good. He gives us an element of the Raider Nation that I like, and we always add people. We're always evolving. We're always adding people. Alex Eichelman, she does a great job with ABC. We added them. We lost Vic Tafer, right? Vic was an insider for us every 2 weeks. He went to the Niners and got an opportunity to go back home, go north. We wish Vic great, so that's what we're doing here. All right, Pete Carroll spoke to the media a little while ago, thanks to all the bricklayers. We're going to play some of Pete Carroll from earlier today right there over at the Intermountain Health Performance Center.
Okay, if I could start you out, I would do it with we selected captains today on defense. Max Crosby was elected captain for the defense. On offense, Geno Smith was elected captain, and A.J. Cole was elected captain for special teams. So real proud of those guys. They have been leading since the moment we got here, and they're exactly the right guys. Obviously, these guys voted them almost unanimously. So really proud to represent our club with those guys.
With that kind of process, was it something that you let the players sort of vote on it? How was sort of your process?
It's just the democratic process. You get to vote for whoever you want to vote for. No redlining.
How exciting are you after a year off and be back in the game planning mode?
I don't know how to measure how excited I am, but this has just been so much fun. Really, to get into this with this club and this ownership, and with all the challenge that goes along with that, able to create our own roster with all that freedom that we got. Johnny and I really feel great about the process that we've gone through. We continue to compete to add to it, but it's worked out really well, and it represents the hard work that we put in. It represents the time. It represents the culture and philosophy that we're standing for. We added a lot of really physical, tough guys, tough-minded guys, really competitive people, and that's only going to make you better. So it's really been fun, and we get a couple of days, and then we're ready to rock and roll into the game plan. So it's really good.
How valuable is a week like this for you and for the players in a sense of rebooting, and now you can really focus and hone in on the 53?
Yeah, we've been pointing to this is a bonus week for us, as we talked about it, and we wanted to make it through it healthy, which we did, and so that we can take a break with a really clear mind that we're ready to go. It feels like that. We'll come back on Monday and kick it into high gear, but we won't be changing anything because we already try to practice as hard as we can every day, and with all the effort that we can muster and the intensity that we can generate. So nothing's really going to change, but it feels great to be at this point because we're trying to get to these games, it's finally here.
Well, you remember the old days when you would play six exhibition games,
yeah, really,
and then go right into the regular season with no time to reassess or reset things.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's called evolution.
How much advantage is that for you?
that's evolution. That was nasty, back in the day, and all of those, the changes that have come about really are very much more thoughtful and directed at giving the players the best chance to be at their best. Back in the day, we just wore them out and then started playing, so everybody was kind of in the dark ages back then. So, but this is good. This is a good process for them. We're kind of used to the rhythm of it, and also that hopefully the players will take advantage of it. Really, urge them to make good decisions on these next 4 days and get back here healthy and feeling good and early and no issues, no problems, so we can hit it full speed.
You mentioned coming out of training camp really healthy. How helpful is Alex Guerrero been in that process and coming in this offseason?
All I can tell you is we're pretty darn healthy right now, and we're very fortunate to be that way. And I don't remember. We have two guys that are banged up right now, so we feel very fortunate to be in that situation. There's a lot of clubs that would do anything to be there.
Now that you're through the process of selecting the roster, I guess 70, not 53 really, but what are the characteristics of the roster? What do you like about the roster that you have?
Well, what I like about it is we have a lot of guys that have come here on a personal mission to prove that they deserve to be here. And there's a bunch of chips on those shoulders now. I mean, these guys got something to prove. I feel the same way. And we've shared that kind of mentality, you know, going through it. And I really like going to battle with these guys because of where their head's at. And they've proven it on the practice field and as we've worked. And now it's time to go. But it feels that there's a commonality about that. And I see it particularly on the defensive side.
Amari Cooper said you played a big role in recruiting him. I guess what was it that you saw in him? What did you like about him that you wanted to come here?
Well, he's been a great player. He's been a great performer. You know, he's made a ton of big plays and big situations. It's not beyond his scope to come up and make the clutch play at the right time. He's big and strong. Runs fantastic routes and has always been a playmaker, you know. So we thought a chance to add a guy like that with experience really to help our young guys might really, you know, suit us well. And so, you know, for Dante on the outside, they'll be doing a lot of the same stuff. I think Amari's way can affect him and help him come along. There's a lot of pressure for him to only be the only X over there that we're kind of going with. And so I think this really balances us out well, and I hope it really suits Jack and Dante.
You guys waived Thayer Mumford. You brought in Stone Forsythe. You obviously were drafted him in Seattle. What do you see from him moving forward?
Stone's a legit right tackle. He's played on the left side as well, and I saw him late in preseason doing swinging. But he's a real physical, tough guy. You know, you can't get any bigger. He's 6'8", but he's got a great mentality about it. That's why we picked him. But then we learned who he was and what he was all about. So when we had a chance to get him, we had to do what it took. And fortunately, you know, he's with us. So he'll play right tackle, but he could well swing in games if we needed him to.
Richard Max and AJ as captains. You also have Daniel and Colt Miller have been around since the Oakland days. What does it mean to have like a foundation of guys like that know the culture, know the building, know the organization to kind of lead the way?
Well, the culture is a little different now, and it's changed. But those guys bring us the history, and they bring us the connection, you know. And this has been an incredible franchise for years. I mean, tons of years. And I go way back knowing that. And so for us to bring in our new way of looking at things to complement what has already been created here in the past, and to have those guys in exactly the point you're making is crucial. Colton has had a great camp, and he's had a great offseason. And I'm thrilled about the way he's performed and how he's come out of it healthy and ready to go. And he's battled every day. You know, he hasn't missed a thing. So Max has been hugely important. There's something about, you know, the history in this particular situation of carrying the pain. You know, it hasn't been good. It hasn't been what they want. And so they're as hungry as you can get. They're hungry as the guys coming in with the big chips on their shoulders. And we have had just no issues connecting, you know, and what we're all about, how we want to go, how we want to do this. And it really, a lot of gratitude to those guys for helping that happen, because they could have, you know, been clinging on to the old ways, and they have not been like that. They've been wide open from the start.
Would you characterize Kenny Pickett as having a chip on his shoulder?
Well, anybody's been traded as much as he has. That chip, that he carries that chip, I think he's got a traveling bag with it. He made a really good first impression out here. Really comfortable, has picked stuff up amazingly fast for all of the systems he's been through. You'd think his brain could be all jumbled up, but really good learner, good athletically out here, threw the ball really well. He's not even full speed yet. We haven't really let him take off and go because we want to save him through these next 4 days and get into game week. But a really big first impression, and he seems to fit in well.
Pete, is there anything different about this version of yourself as a coach heading into your first regular season game as a Raider compared to your first game as a Seahawk, USC?
You know, I'd have to ask me about that. There's a lot of similarities. The rhythm of putting the team together, implanting the way we think and the way we operate and you know, what's behind the philosophy and all of that, very similar. But because of where I am in my career, looking at this is like, it's just such a joyful opportunity to me. I'm thrilled to be part of this place and in the position where, you know, it looks like all odds are against you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, nothing wrong with that to me. The division we play in, I'm thrilled to be playing against the coaches that are in this division. I have so much respect for them, which that's no big deal because obviously they've earned that over the years. But it just makes it a little bit sweeter. I really don't feel that much different, but yet there's some things that through the evolving of this last year that made a difference in the way I see things, and I've been able to implement and institute some things that I hadn't done before that I'm really excited about seeing the results. We'll see what happens, but the newness is the same. The new feeling about a new program and a new culture and all of that is the same, and we reached the point. Probably with the meeting we had this morning, that we've kind of covered all the bases, and so we're ready to go.
What do you like about Brennan Jackson, what he brings to the Raiders?
Yeah, he's really physical and tough guy. We're really impressed with his motor chasing the football, coming off the edge. He was effective in the running game and the passing game, but he just really, it's his mentality. He adds to the mentality that we're trying to instill in the whole club, and I think that he'll find it very comfortable with the mentality that we're asking for, you know, hard, tough, every day, grind it out, and I think he's going to be a nice fit for us. We'll see. I saw him one time. So.
All right, that was just some of Pete Carroll's press conference. JT, back with you. Very important how calm he is, how comfortable he is. If you go back to the coaches in Raiders history, starting with John Gruden before Rich Bisaccia, Josh McDaniels, Antonio Pierce, now Pete Carroll, they're all different. Antonio Pierce was really in your face, excited, and honestly, transparent and gung-ho. Josh McDaniels came from the Patriots. He didn't want to say anything. That's just the way they're taught. Don't say, remember Belichick. Belichick, nothing. McDaniels, nothing. It was very difficult for me to have. The interviews I did with him I thought were really good because at least he was loosened up, but he wasn't that way at the podium. He didn't want to give anybody anything. Rich Bisaccia never did it before. I thought he was good. He was real, just like, he was kind of like your uncle. Hey, what do you think about the game? He'd tell you he was a fantastic human being, good coach. And then John Gruden was very intense. When John had a press conference, John looked everyone in the eye and went right at him with energy. Pete Carroll's just different. I think it's the best press conference I've seen, one of the best in NFL history. Now, Mike Tomlin's the best for his voice and his inflection and everything he says. He's kind of fun to watch. God, Pete Carroll's good. If you think there's something wrong with the Raiders, you will not get it from a Pete Carroll press conference. Raiders aren't perfect. They got issues. Not according to him. They're good. They're going with what they got. Very confident coach. And that's the way I've seen him in the building. He walks around from player to player, staff to staff, encouraging everyone to compete and be great. When you're around that all the time, Jeremy Chin talked about it with us. When you're around it all the time, you get comfortable with it. The fact that you know your coach is watching you, grading you, asking you to compete harder, but he's got your back. So this roster's set. I don't think there's going to be any more surprises, but Micah Parsons in a trade would be a surprise. Michael Irvin's on NFL Live now. He was on with Rich Eisen today. Rich told him, go to Jerry's office, get it done. Micah Parsons looks really unhappy. Wherever he goes, he's going to be much happier. But who's going to step up if they do it with that much trade equity? Joe Lisi, great college football insider, next.
And we're going to go to the podium for the next pick. This one is of the Oakland Raiders. We'll see what they get now.
Oakland selects Howie Long, defensive tackle, Villanova.
It was a surprise, particularly when they made the draft pick on ESPN. They said, well, that's a wasted pick. We don't even have film on this guy. This guy could have been gotten in the seventh round.
That's a great piece of audio. Howie Long makes our top 10 list of the most influential Raiders draft picks all time for that reason. Did you hear that? Howie didn't expect to go in the second round. No one at ESPN thought of him at all. Didn't know who he was. There was no film on him. He was taken in the second round. He was the 48th pick overall by the Oakland L.A. Raiders. He played for Oakland, then the L.A. Raiders from 1981 through 1993. Super Bowl 18 champion. He was co-defensive player of the year in 85. He was an 8-time Pro Bowler. He was on the NFL All-Decade team. He was also first team All-East when he came out. This guy was a hell of a player, but no one knew him at Villanova. He was born in Somerville, Massachusetts, Bobby. That's where you are. Bobby, Somerville, Mass. Raised in Charlestown, Boston, where all the movies are made, like The Town. Okay? And he was basically what it says, he grew up with his uncles, his maternal grandmother. Then he ended up going to Villanova. College football for the Villanova Wildcats near Philadelphia. Earned a degree in communications, 4-year letterman for the Wildcats. And was selected to play in the Blue-Gray Football Classic and was named the MVP. That's what put him on the map. Absolutely. And he started every game, had 99 tackles. Then he went on to the pros, second round with the Raiders. And the next thing you know, 8 Pro Bowl selections. He was a brilliant Raider. Many people thought he was one of the great Raider representatives in the history of the NFL. When you think of the Raiders, you think of a few men. And you think of Howie Long. All those, all Madden teams. Selected by John Madden to the all Madden team in 84 and 85. And was named to the 10th anniversary of the all Madden team. You can wonder why. But it's what he was able to do alongside Lyle Alzado, Greg Townsend, some of the other rushers. And then he got into the action movie business. He was in a bunch of action films. Firestorm. How about that? He also appeared in in the suspense movie Breaking Arrow with John Travolta, 3,000 Miles to Graceland alongside Kevin Costner and Kurt Russell and Courtney Cox. He was in a lot of movies, cameo appearances on many TV shows. God, how about all the television commercials? And then one of the greatest broadcasting careers ever. Ever. The NFL on Fox and all of those at-bats that he had with Fox on the NFL on Fox. Howie Long. One of the greatest Raiders of all time and makes our top 10 most influential draft picks because in 1981, he was taking the 48th pick overall and no one knew him. And they thought it was a reach. He wasn't a reach. He turned out to be one of the greatest Raiders of all time. So where am I going to do? Am I going to rank Cliff ahead of Howie, Howie ahead of Marcus? They're all in the top 10. But we have a number one, which we'll let you know about. 702-365-9200. The big deal is Micah Parsons. The Cowboys now appear willing to listen to trade offers. I got about 20 minutes left in the show. Joe Lisi's running late. We might have to rebook him. If you're a Raider fan, we have Joe? If we're going to get Joe coming up, hopefully. If you think the Raiders should trade for Micah Parsons, we need that phone call now. 702-365-9200. 9200 is the number. I'm open to it. I think it would be very bold, very expensive. I think he's one of the best players in the league. He could be a top 5 player in the entire NFL offense and defense. We already have Max. Malcolm Kuntz is a good player. But imagine dropping Micah Parsons in on the Raider defense now. Just imagine what the Raiders would look like on game day. It would change everything. It would change everything completely. I can't figure. I'm not going to say Super Bowl, but if Micah Parsons ended up being traded to the Las Vegas Raiders with Max Crosby's long-term contract, I would feel pretty confident that in the next couple of years, the Raiders would win the Super Bowl. Not compete for the Super Bowl, but win. I would say that about Micah Parsons, not many other players. Miles Garrett, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Those type of players, I put Micah Parsons very high on that list. And from what we're seeing, these are guys putting their names on it. These are guys putting their names on it, including Adam Schefter, says that the Cowboys are open to this call. What would the call be? Well, it's going to be a new contract, no doubt about that. There's going to be a new contract for sure. But how many draft picks do you have to give up? Mark and Henderson. You're up next, Mark. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for calling.
doing well. I think the biggest trick would be how many draft picks is it actually going to take to get Micah? Because the contract's going to be big, but, you know, as long as Geno does well, hopefully Kenny does well, we might have a quarterback to be able to last for a while, mm-hmm. looking like how Rich Gannon was. So it's got potential, mm-hmm. but if those two quarterbacks don't work out, then I don't know. It's very iffy because I know he's going to be expensive, but the salary cap's also going up every year.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. I think it's got to be two high first-round picks. Thanks for the call. I think it's got to be a first and a second, or it's got to be a first this year. It's got to be a first-round pick for obvious reasons. The question is, two first-rounders for a non-quarterback is a bit rich, but he's that type of player. Adam Schefter reporting, Raiders claim safety Christian McCollum on waivers from the Eagles, per his agent Drew Rosenhaus and Robert Bailey. So the Raiders bring in another safety, Christian McCollum, on waivers from the Eagles. As we've said with everybody else, the Raiders have ties with the Eagles, big ties with the Eagles in their player personnel department. And that is happening right now. So the Raiders have ties with the Eagles, and we know this to be true, and they're doing deals. So Thomas Booker, who the Raiders got in the trade from the Eagles, Raiders VP player personnel Brandon Hunt, and new senior personnel executive Anthony Patch, were with Philly and saw every pick at practice and every play of this new safety. Everyone. That's why they're here, because you got guys in the building who just came over from the Eagles. Let's get out to Raider Dave. He's in Denver today. Hello, Dave.
Hey, JT, you know what? I would love this. I wanted the Raiders to draft this guy when he was available in the draft. They would have had to move up a little bit. Dallas beat him to it. I've loved this guy ever since he came out. And, man, this would pretty much be like how when Von Miller went to the Rams, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a way of looking at it, but this is better than Von Miller. Not Von Miller in his prime. Von was a Super Bowl MVP, and that's hard to do. But, yeah, this is... You know, Dave, I can't compare him to many other players other than Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is the comp. The Raiders got rid of Khalil Mack because he wanted $90 million guaranteed. The Raiders did not have that money cash flow-wise. They could have made it work, obviously, with the cap and all that. They didn't have the cash flow to do it. We lost Khalil Mack, one of the great generational players I've ever seen. This is the closest player I've seen to Khalil Mack, where you can line him up at outside linebacker or defensive edge. I think Micah Parsons is more of a linebacker than he is a defensive edge rusher, but he lines up everywhere. This guy's a freak, and with Max Crosby, I can't imagine what they would do. It would change the whole concept of the Raiders globally with Micah Parsons. It just might just not be available. It's a really costly move.
No, you're right, and I think the Raiders have positioned themselves pretty darn well with a couple good drafts. There's some rookies last year that are still on this team on rookie contracts. But the Raiders have kept 11 rookies on this roster. So, man, if you're going to do that, I think there's room for a contract like this.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dave. I think there is. There's always room for a contract like this. You can make this work. Right? The Bengals were so difficult on Trey Hendrickson to try to give him a contract that made sense. Really difficult on him. And I don't know what to tell you. Micah Parsons, to me, would be beyond a Christmas present, but I was the same guy, me, who loved the Davante Adams deal. When Davante Adams came, remember, we had to pay him, and we had to give up a lot of draft talent. I was good. He's the best receiver in the league, top three. It didn't work out. So this Micah Parsons reportedly getting his back checked out. I think he's doing that to posture. Hey, Bobby, play 2 or 3 minutes here if you can before we come back. I want to hear Kenny Pickett. I know Kenny Pickett spoke today. I didn't see it or hear it, but we got Joe Lisi coming in. Okay, so we'll do that next. Let's come back with either Joe Lisi, who's going to join us, and I really want to talk to Joe, and then we could come back. If Joe's not there, we'll play a little bit of Kenny Pickett, and we'll set up Q's show by giving Q everything we got, which is a big way to wrap up the show. And Q's got a lot on his plate, a lot, and a big show coming up next on the flagship.
Raiders were famous for drafting bigger, stronger, faster, tougher. I think I kind of fit the mold with a lot of upside physically, but, you know, untapped potential.
We feel that we have.
That's Howie Long. We featured him today along with Marcus Allen in our top countdown of the top 10 Raiders draft picks of all time. He is incredible. A real quick story on Howie. I don't have a lot because Howie's working every Sunday for the NFL on Fox. So he usually comes to a game when, for whatever reason, if Fox has some specialty program they're doing and he's able to get to it, he'll come. His son, Howie Long Jr., who's worked with the Raiders for a long time and just left the Raiders, and I want to wish him well. He's become a good friend. Great guy. Great guy, Howie Jr. Phenomenal guy. And so we went to London. The Raiders played in London against the Bears, and we were staying at a rugby compound headquarters. Beautiful room. I'm there, and I just couldn't believe it. It was gardens and swimming pools. And they said, hey, man, today we got work for you to do. We're gonna mic you up, and you're going to be outside in the garden, and you're going to interview Howie Long. I said, wow, that's pretty cool. And Howie came out. There was tea. They had tea. It was in London, outside of London. And Howie came out, and they mic'd him up, and then they mic'd me up. And we did, you know, 15, 20 minutes about the Raiders and his history. And he was such a pro because he's such a great broadcaster. He's on the biggest NFL show of all time, biggest pregame show. And it built a bond for us, where ever since then, when I see him, we kind of remember that, and very kind. He is a private guy with his big properties in Montana and Arizona and his huge contract that he makes from broadcasting. But a down-to-earth guy. Whenever he's around the Raiders, it's a good time. And his wife's great. And the kids who played in the NFL, his sons are fantastic. What a dad. What a husband. Howie Long. One of our top 10 Raider draft picks of all time. We're going to reschedule Joe Lisi for tomorrow. Bobby, do me a favor. Just play a minute or two. I didn't hear Kenny Pickett at all. I was in a meeting today. I just want to hear the beginning, the first couple of questions. This is the Raiders' backup quarterback from today, Kenny Pickett.
Whenever you're ready.
Kenny, was this an opportunity here? What the Raiders feel like for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at this whole thing, you know, these guys have been working for a long time since before I got here. So, you know, I'm taking it very seriously to be ready to go out there, you know, whatever happens, and be ready to perform. So that's kind of just where my mindset is right now.
Coach said that there's guys on this roster that have chips on their shoulders. Would you be one of those guys?
Yeah, I think I can add to that. You know, I really resonate with a lot of the guys here. You know, I played against Max twice, and, you know, I think from the first snap to the last, we were going back and forth the entire game. So you want guys like that on your team, and, you know, he's a great one to have.
How challenging has the last 18 months been, and can you find stability here, you think?
Yeah, I'm just taking a day at a time. You know, this is my third playbook in the last 12 months pretty much. So I've learned a lot of football. A lot of things are similar. It's the terminology that I'm really trying to get down. Constant communication with the coaches, you know, my teammates in the huddle. I've never had to ask a question in the huddle before. This is the first time I'm asking some guys on some routes on conversions and stuff. So just taking a day at a time and figuring it out.
How much is it helping you to be in the situation where you don't have to play this weekend and you have a little bit more runway to learn to play, but talk to Chip, ask questions, get answers?
Yeah, I think that's big. Since the second I got here, you know, I was in the facility and been working nonstop. So, like I said, I want to be ready just in case. You never know what could happen. You know, I want to be there for the team, you know, a guy that they can rely on. So, just taking a day at a time and studying as much as I can.
All right. That's a little Kenny Pickett. Great segue to Q. He asked the first good questions. He had the first couple of questions there. Also, Steve Karp. So, that's where you got Kenny Pickett. A lot of people are excited about him because we needed a quarterback who wasn't an emergency quarterback. Cam Miller on the practice squad is an emergency quarterback, and he might develop into being a real good one. Tom Brady, now that the season starts, not in the building, but Tom Brady is a minority owner for this team. Cam Miller is a quarterback for this team. You can put those together. With Tom Brady being able to look at Cam Miller and help him when he has the time to do that. So we needed someone in here. God forbid Geno goes to the blue tent, gets dinged up on the sidelines. You could not put Cam Miller in the game. You can't. Then you'd just be handing it off up the middle, and they'd just put nine in the box. He's too new. He's too young. And Kenny Pickett, if you're down 10 in the fourth quarter, Kenny Pickett's 15-10 lifetime. He has a winning percentage above 500. He can come from behind and win. But you remember, Bobby, that was the plan with Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew could win any game. And Garoppolo, too. Same thing. Good point. Garoppolo could win any game you put him in. Jimmy G. He won 4 playoff games. Those guys didn't work out. We need the quarterbacks to work out here. Derek was at the very end of his career. They moved on from him. It hurt a lot of people's feelings. Derek was a good player. Geno's a good player. Geno's got to prove that he's better than Derek Carr when Derek was at his best. When Derek was at his best, he was an MVP candidate. Can Geno become an MVP candidate in a league that has Joe Burrow and Josh Allen? It'd be hard, but I think he could if Brock Bowers and Amari Cooper and Jacoby Myers and Michael Mayer and Ashton Gentry are all catching balls. It could happen. Get ready for Q. He'll join you next. I'm done for the day. Have some good news. I'm working on a project with Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, and we'll be able to tell you about that probably in a week. So stay tuned for that. All my social media is up, and it's rolling, and it's connected with the show. On Instagram, JT the Brick LV. YouTube, JT the Brick YT, and on X, JT the Brick. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. Thank you, Bobby. Thanks to all of our guests. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.